Mobile, so we have so much water, the water's even running uphill instead of down. I don't know how this works, but believe me, it's there. And you find out on vacation whether you're saved or not, especially if you have a layover and you stand in line for 1 hour and then you stand in line for an hour and 40 minutes. I was beginning to doubt my salvation there for a while. My wife smacked me upside the head and got me back in line. She says, "Everybody's having to stand in line." I said, "Yeah, but it's not me. I don't care if everybody stands in line. It's when I'm standing in line." Yeah, and they gave me I got a ticket after an hour wait in Phoenix, and only thing I had to do is just poke it into the, I think they call it a kiosk. I don't know what you call it after an hour and a half, but I put my ticket in that says, "I'm sorry, but you have a special, you will need to see a representative." And so here I am standing with my ticket that's not my ticket, waiting for a representative to tell me I have a ticket. And then here comes somebody in another line and waits up there and walks right up. It's called first class. I guess when you're in group five, you can't expect much. But we did make it back. It puts things into perspective, though. Life really doesn't matter much. And the weights really don't matter much. But those will indicate your spiritual condition, I'll tell you. And it's like I said, after apologizing to my wife and confessing its sin to the Lord, I, seven Hail Marys finally got me in. So if you have your Bibles, turn to 1 Corinthians. You'll find that we're not the only imperfect church that ever existed. Church is made up of people, and people have problems. You have to realize that Corinth, we're starting a brand new series. Corinth was the capital of a place called Achaia. That's the province. It was a great seaport city, and it was known for its architecture. It was known for its wealth. It was known for its schools, its work of art. They even had athletic games there. They had schools of philosophy. There was this place called Corinth. But one of the things that Corinth was known for more than anything was that it was its immorality. They had a goddess, Epaphroditus, Diana, to the Romans. And they had a temple to this goddess. And in that temple, there were in Corinth alone over 10,000 prostitutes. Well, it's one thing whenever the world gets just a little bit churchy, but the church was a little bit worldly. And all the problems of the world were beginning to creep in to this place called Corinth. And Paul is going to address those problems. But it's awfully easy to be, whether you're in Pennsville or Cleveland or Chicago or San Francisco, you'll find that the world around us tends to creep into the Church of Jesus Christ. And we have a definite problem. And that's addressed when we come to the book of 1 Corinthians. Our Father, I thank you so very much for a God who's holy, who is indeed Lord. May we align to be Lord of our life. And in the world in which we live, may we be a living testimony to Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. Have you ever been to a place where someplace, I mean, it just stunk, but the people that were there didn't even know it? I remember when we were in Russia at the domestic airport, and we had to be there for 13 hours. That was another place that found out whether I was saved or not. And you'd have to go to the restroom, and you'd walk in there, and their urinals didn't always work. And when you came into the place, it was like the floor was wet, and you pulled up your pants legs, and boy, did it stink. I remember when I was in Chicago, had a fellow there named Roosevelt Moore. He lived on the third house of what we called a flop house. I walked into his room, and I mean, it just stunk. I remember walking into a crack house one time, and it just stunk. But to the people that were there, they couldn't even smell it. It's awfully easy to get to the place that you are around the stink so much that you don't even notice it. You don't even notice it. You see, the church of Corinth had come to the place it was taking on the odor of the world. And it didn't even know it. It began to stink. And so what happened is that it doesn't matter whether it's Corinth. It doesn't matter whether it's Pennsville. It's awfully easy to get to the place that the world begins to creep into the church. The world begins to creep into your life. You don't realize what you were is not what you are. And you begin to look like the world. And you begin to talk like the world. And you begin to act like the world. And you begin to react just like the world. And it's awfully easy to do. Because you see, the church today, no matter where you're at in America, we live in a dump. You can't get by with it, whether it's on the internet, or whether it's on television, or whether it's within your community, as you read it within the newspaper of all the stuff. What I wonder is, if we live in a dump, how can we live in a dump and not smell like garbage? And that's exactly what Paul begins to address. We need to have a fresh view of Jesus Christ. We need to have a fresh view of God and who He is and what He is. And maybe in your life, you're living within a dump. But how can we stop smelling like garbage? First of all, Jesus starts it. And this is what Paul does. Paul starts with a fresh encounter to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, in one way or another, is used in all 9 verses. And so Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ just keeps being lifted up. And so often within our lives, we need to say, Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that are in every place, call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. Grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father, and from our Lord Jesus Christ. We need to realize in order to stop smelling like garbage, Jesus starts. Notice he calls in verse 1. Notice the person. There's 2 people mentioned. One is Paul and the other is Sosthenes. Who in the world is Sosthenes? Well, he's in Acts chapter 18 and verse 17. He was the high priest of the synagogue in Corinth. And the people, the Jews, were going to beat him. That's where your introduction is. We need to realize within our call, the person. He makes something, and you have Paul, who was an apostle. Yes, I understand, but you realize the background of Paul, that he persecuted the church? You realize the background of Paul, but he also sat at the feet of Gamaliel. Do you realize that God takes what has happened back here and begins to use it in something in the future? Let me tell you, when I'm living in this garbage can of a world, I need to realize that I've been there once again, that I am a person with a background. Everyone here has a different story. But in order to stop smelling like garbage, I need to realize that God is going to take some of those things that's happened to me in the past, some good, some bad, some because of stupid choices you made, and God wants to take you and use you for something in the future. And God has a plan and He has a purpose. And I need to realize that right in the middle of this dump, that God has a purpose for my life. Notice the placement. He was an apostle. What are you? Well, some of you are housewives. Some of you work in a factory. Some of you are changing jobs. Some of you are retired. But let me tell you, there is a placement. He was an apostle, but notice this, of Jesus Christ. He's an apostle. What are you of Jesus Christ? And I think that there, once again, we need to realize a fresh view of who this Jesus Christ is. Notice the possession. He was an apostle of Jesus Christ. Notice the word that he belonged. I don't belong to me. I don't belong to me. I don't do what I want when I want. Some of you are housewives. You don't do what you want. But you're a housewife of Jesus Christ. You are an employee of Jesus Christ. You're a business owner of Jesus Christ. But let me tell you, you belong to Him. And when I'm right in the midst of this dump, I need to realize that I belong to Jesus Christ. I don't care where I work. I don't care what my background is. I don't care what my situation is at this time. I am possessed by Jesus Christ. I belong to Him. Notice also the providence through the will of God. It wasn't some committee. It wasn't some council. This is His design. It's not yours. I need to realize that. It's through the will of God. Through the will of God, I am where I am. Through the will of God, I am in the place, in the circumstance, in the situation, by God's will. You say, well, it's sure not very good. Every good and every perfect gift comes from the Father. God does not tempt anybody for evil because God cannot be tempted with evil. So there, God permits negative things to happen in your life, negative things to happen in mine, in order that I might be what God wants me to be. But we need to realize that I am where I am and I am who I am because of none other than Jesus Christ. And it's by the will of God. And let me tell you what? He can change it anytime He wants. He can take you out of here anytime He wants. Because what? I'm not my own. I've been bought with a price, the precious blood of Jesus Christ. I need to realize that when I'm in the midst of a dump. Notice not only He calls, He consecrates. He says in verse 2 that unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ our Lord, both they, theirs, and ours. Notice the ownership, the church of God. The church, by the way, is the word ecclesia, and it means a called out body of believers. It's His. It's the church of God. We can't do what we want. We're the church. You see, in order to be a part, well, we're going to have church membership. But if I'm in Jesus Christ, I'm already a part of the church. We just happen to have a formal thing that goes through. You become a member of Pennsville Baptist Church. But if you're here without Jesus Christ, you're not a part of the church. You're not a part of the ecclesia. But there's a called out body. The called out is this. God loved you so much that He gave His Son Jesus Christ to die on the cross for your sins. He paid for your sins. And He says, come, follow Me. That's the call. We're a called out group of people. And we said, yes. And I became a part of the church of God. Now, whenever you have the church of God, a group of, that are called out, notice the organization, which is at Corinth. Now, we have this thing, which is at Pennsville. It shows you here that if I have become a believer in Jesus Christ, I need to identify with a group of people. A group of people that know Christ as their Savior. It's called a church building, an organization. And you'll have a pastor and you have deacons and you have elders and you have all those other things that go along with an organization. But that's not it. Why in the world do you have a church? Why is it at Corinth? By the way, if you didn't like it at Corinth, that was the only church. Well, I'll tell you, I don't like the preacher. That's okay. You're going to have the same guy next week. Why? Because there's no place else to go. Well, I quit. Well, are you going to quit? It's a church at Corinth, and there was one. But we have a lot of churches. There's a lot of people that lift up Jesus Christ. And by the way, if Pennsville Baptist Church doesn't meet your spiritual need, find someplace that does. I'm serious. Because we're here to grow, to encourage each other, to be a part of the body. Part of it was what Pastor Bixel read this morning when he said, those people that died, I want to thank people of Pennsville Baptist Church for this. I want to thank the pastors. I want to thank this. I want to thank that. Why? What is the church? It's when people's lives fall apart. It's when there's a need. It's so that we can grow and develop and identify with a bunch of people. And we're brothers and sisters in Christ. That's what we're here for. And so, let me tell you, You may make it from here to eternity without going to church, but let me tell you, I can make it from here to England without a boat, but it's a long swim. It's the same way when I need the Church of Jesus Christ and the people of Jesus Christ. And could I encourage you to become identified in some part of the church, the visible church? In other words, whether it's teaching, or whether it's singing in the choir, or whether it's playing an instrument, or whether it's being a part of the food ministry, or whether it's being a part of Heal, or whether it's being a part of the Grief Share, become a part in some way so that you can encourage other people, but also so that they can encourage you. Notice the origin. They are sanctified. Sanctified. You say, well, I don't feel like I'm sanctified. I need to realize that I'm sanctified. What the word for sanctified or consecrated was a word that was used for in the Old Testament, in the Old Testament implements. They took that which was ordinary and took it out of the ordinary and placed it in the service for God. So in the Old Testament, you would have the tongs that were on the altar. You had a meat hook that was on the altar. You had candles and candelabras that were a part of the, but they were sanctified. It was just an ordinary meat hook until it was given to God. It was just an ordinary tong that moved the embers from one place to another until it was given to God. It was just an ordinary candlestick until it was given to God. You see, and we're just plain old ordinary people until we're given to God. Then they're set apart to Him and for Him. I'm taken out of the plain old ordinary stuff, and He puts me into service for a living God. Boy, I tell you, you look out here at this congregation, I'm thinking, man, he didn't have much to work with, does he? Shoo. You look up here on the pulpit, and he has less to work with. You think, how in the world did that guy ever get there? I don't know. But it's one of those things. They took you out of plain old ordinary stuff and put you in service for Jesus Christ. I need to realize that I not only have been called to be a part of the body of Christ, but He has a job for me to do, and I've been set apart to Him and for Him. I need to realize that when I'm in the midst of the dump, or otherwise I'm going to start smelling like garbage. Notice the order. We are called saints. Turn to the person next to you and say, I'm a saint. Don't smile and laugh when you do it. Especially if it's your husband or your wife. Yes, I am a saint. Okay, enough joking around. You can only have so much fun in church. And those of you that don't have anybody to sit beside you, guess what? You didn't have to say anything. But you'll never find saint singular in the Bible. Saints is always plural. You never find a Saint Paul, a Saint Peter. I'm set apart to God and for God. That's what it is. We get our same word for holy, hagios. I'm set apart. I'm holy. I'm set apart to God and for God. I need to realize that when I'm in the midst of a dump to stop smelling like garbage, that God has a purpose and plan for me here on earth, and I'm set apart for Him. And I need to live for Him. I need to be what He wants me to be. It's amazing that God calls us saints. Why? That's the way God sees me. Do you know who He's talking to? He's talking to some of the most unlikely people to be called saints. They sure didn't live it. They sure had a lot of problems. But He still sees me as a saint. See, the blood of Jesus Christ just continually cleanses me from sin. I've been set apart to God and for God. And I need to remember that while I'm here on this dump that I live. The outreach. Here's this. Notice this. With all that are in every place, call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. With all that in every place, call upon the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's us. That's everyone. Everyone who knows Jesus Christ as their Savior, they've been sanctified and called and became a part of the church of Jesus Christ. And then he tosses in this little word that goes throughout the rest of the passages, our Lord. Our Lord. And His possession is once again emphasized. We need to realize that He is our Lord. He's the one that calls the shots. He's the one for whom we live. It's not about you. He's the one. He's Lord. He's Lord. And what can a Lord or a master do? Anything He jolly well pleases. I'll go where you want me to go. I'll do what you want me to do. I'll be what you want me to be. And you know what? You can do anything to me that you want to. It's okay. And one of the things that's missing in the Church of Jesus Christ when you begin to smell like garbage is the Lordship of Jesus Christ. He's my Lord. He's my Lord. Let me tell you what I want. I want to do what I want. I want to go where I want. I want to be what I want. And we begin to butt heads with the living God. But it's Jesus Christ, our Lord. Notice then he continues, verse 3. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father. Notice this, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice the supplies. Two of them. Grace. Grace. Wow, this is a way to triumph in the midst of a dump. Grace. Let me tell you what the opposite of grace is. Works. Law. Legalism. Let me tell you what law and legalism does and works. I do it. I'll do it. I'll do it. I'll do it. Next thing you know, you begin to look like the world and smell like the world and talk like the world and act like the world. And also, you begin to believe that Christianity is a religion, not a relationship. And what we need to see is that this great God, everything that's going to be accomplished, everything that I need is grace. God does it. Do you have a problem in your life? God has to do it. Do you have a burden? God has to carry it. Do you have a situation? God's there to meet that need. Grace. Quit trying to live the Christian life in your own strength and in your own power, because you'll begin to look like the world, talk like the world, and smell like garbage. But also peace. You say, wow, peace. Whew. Did y'all all notice that grace always precedes peace? Grace and peace. Grace and peace. It's always that order. It's never peace and grace. But there's two kinds of peace. First of all, if you're here this morning without Jesus Christ, if you're dying right now, you're not sure that you'd spend eternity in heaven, there's the peace with God. We heard the message that God loves us and Christ died for us. Sin has to be paid for. Sin must be paid for. But Jesus Christ paid for my sin. Who His own self bore our sin. In His own body on the tree, that we might become the very righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ. But as many as received Him, He gives the power, He gives the ability to become children of God, even to those that just rest their full weight on Him. You see, that I said yes, and I have peace with God. But let me tell you what else, peace of God. What happens when I turn this over to Him? What happens when He actually becomes not only the Lord of my life, but the Lord of the situation? Whew, I don't have to carry it anymore. I don't have to wrestle anymore. I don't have to struggle anymore. And there's something that just overwhelms you. It's the peace of this great God. I've seen it in funeral homes. I've seen it at the bed of people that are dying. I've seen it when people look the doctor right in the eye and he says that you have 3 months to live. And there's just peace that totally surrenders and totally surrounds that person that allows them to be the Lord of their life. Grace and peace. That's the supply. But notice the source. It's from God. It's from God, who is our Father. That's the emphasis. He's not an ogre that's up in heaven that's just trying to beat you down and take away all the fun that you have. He's God who is a Father. We see this in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father who art in heaven. Now, if a father knows how to give good gifts to his children, how much more will the Father? Do you realize that what God wants to do even in praying is to develop a relationship as a father to a child, or a father to a son, or a father to a daughter? He's God. Do you realize how big this God is? First of all, there's a God. I love this. I don't understand how he ever got my name on speed dial, but I'm sure glad that he did. It amazes me how big this God is. And I just, when I read just a few weeks ago, a fellow named Ross, Hugh Ross, wrote a book called Why the Universe. And then he took the Hubble telescope, and there's 20,000 galaxies that they could see beyond this one. 20,000 galaxies. Our galaxy is the Milky Way. The Milky Way is 100,000 light years across. A light year is approximately 6 trillion miles. Whoa, now we have 100,000 light years across. Now you look out there and you say, oh, there's 20,000. No. That's a little postage stamp. They estimate that there may be 200 billion galaxies beyond this one if they just multiply it by the 20,000 that they can see. Whoa. God, G-O-D, God, is my Father. I don't know how he ever put me on speed dial. I don't know how he ever got my name. But when I became identified with Jesus Christ, a relationship developed that I have that is bigger than I can ever imagine, more powerful than I can ever imagine. And when I'm in the midst of the dump, I need to realize how big this God is. And this God is for me. He's my Father. And not only my Father and our Lord, Jesus Christ. The emphasis here is Jesus Christos is Kyrion. Jesus is Jesus. Christos is Christ. And Kyrion is Lord. The emphasis is not upon Jesus Christ. But the emphasis is upon Jesus Christ, who is my Lord. Jesus is the one that died for me. Christos is the Messiah who is coming again. And Lord is the one who is the sovereign of the universe. And he's Lord of my life. Wow. The one who died for me. The one who bled for me. The one who took my sins. And the one who is coming back is the one who is now Lord of my life. And when I make him Lord of my life, let me tell you, you stop smelling like garbage. Why? Because Jesus took my sin and Jesus Christ is coming back. And Jesus Christ is going to take care of me today, tomorrow, the next day, and the next day. And guess what? He made all of this and I'm just a part of it. Wow. See, if I'm going to stop smelling like garbage, I need to have a fresh view of God and of Jesus Christ. How do you live in a dump and not smell like garbage? Wow, I need to have a fresh view of God and who this Jesus is, because he not only starts, but this Jesus stabilizes. Because it's going to be awfully easy in this dump to have everything fall apart. That's what a dump does. You put in all the stuff that you don't want anymore and it ends up being in a dump. And then it starts stinking. Wow. But I have this God that stabilizes it. And he says this in verses 4 to 9. He says, I thank God. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God, which is given unto you by Jesus Christ. What he does, he takes care of my past. He takes care of my present. He takes care of my future. And that's what we see. That in everything, you are enriched. Past, thank God for his grace. Present, he's enriched me by him in all utterance and in all knowledge, even the testimony of Christ, which was confirmed in you, so that you come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you unto the end. Oh, I hope I make it in the midst of this dump. He says, you'll make it. That you may be blameless in that day of our what? Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, you're not, he is, by whom you are called unto fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. You see, he reminds the Corinthians of their past, their present, and their future, and he reminds me of my past, my present, and my future. Notice Christ's communication in verses 4 through 7, the first part, which is given to you by Jesus Christ. Notice his grace and the enablement. His praise. I thank God. Wow, I need to do that when I'm in the midst of the dump. I need to thank God for his grace. I need to just say, God, I thank you for Calvary. I thank you for the cross. I thank that you'd take a nothing and a nobody that was out there in the middle of nowhere and put my name on speed dial because of Jesus Christ. Wow, I thank God. We need to see God at work in the midst of the dump. How long has it been since you've just thanked God for everything and haven't asked Him for anything? I just thank You. I thank You for the breath that I have. I thank God for for those of you that don't know, the reason that I take off, it isn't where you go, it's who you go with. And I have the best traveling partner in the world. If you got a lousy one, that's up to you. But let me tell you, I got a good one. And we just thank God. We thank God for a relationship. It's raining. We was even thanking God for the rain. You know what we did when it rained? We sat in the car and watched the raindrops fall on the windows until they would finally open up the desert. How long did you have to wait? Oh, 3-4 hours. Boy, it seemed like it was a whole lot different than standing in line waiting for a ticket. It really didn't matter. It really didn't matter. I thank God. Could I encourage you in the midst of this dump, in order to not smell like garbage, that you develop a thankful, grateful heart? Begin to see God at work and then just say thanks. He's working all around you. Say thanks. And so often we can be, I wish you had this, I wish you had that. Thank God for what you had. He says, I thank God. I thank God. That's His grace, is His enablement. Notice not only this, I thank God for His provision. That's grace. I thank God for salvation. Do you know Jesus Christ is your Savior? You know the greatest thing that ever happened to you is knowing Christ is your Savior? I thank God. I thank God for my salvation, for sanctification. Boy, He just keeps working on me. Isn't it amazing? You can be 101 years old. That's Homer. But I've been doing this for nearly that long, and I still need to learn. And it's sanctification, being set apart to God and for God. I never looked just like Jesus. I've never met a Christian who looked just like Jesus. But I thank God that He's so patient with me. I thank God that He gave my wife more patience than He did me. She looks at me like, why in the world would steam come out your ears? It really doesn't matter. It's terrible to travel with somebody like that too, when they're too godly. Oh my goodness. Come on, just throw something once in a while. But it doesn't make any sense to her. She just doesn't understand all that. I get over it, but I have to confess a whole lot more sins than she ever does. But I thank God for His grace. I thank God for His sanctification. I thank God for His provision that He's given to me in Jesus Christ. I thank God that He doesn't quit on me. And I thank God that He's just going to continue this work until the day of Jesus Christ. I need to do that when I'm in the midst of a garbage situation. Grace provides enablement, but a gift is enrichment. Now, did you notice what He says? In everything you are rich. Then He just gives a little dinky list. In your utterance, in your knowledge, in your testimony of Christ has been confirmed in you. Wow. And the gifts that He's given to you. But you realize that since you came to know Jesus Christ, you're rich in everything. You are richer than you can ever imagine. If I have a God who owns a cattle on 1,000 hills, the song goes in, a wealth in every mine. If He owns it all, and I'm a part of His family, why in the world do we live like paupers when You are so rich? He said You've been enriched in utterance, to speaking. Do you realize what happened to your vocabulary when you came to know Jesus Christ? It flat changed. And He says your knowledge. Wow. Before I knew Christ, I had a lot of information up my head, but none of it fit. I had to know Jesus Christ, the living God, before even 200 billion galaxies would even blow me away. But it did. And all the stuff that you know, and you begin to relate it back to a living God, and what this God is doing, and how this God is working, and how that He's working things. It's amazing, the knowledge that we have. And then it was confirmed by a testimony. You came to know Jesus Christ, and the next thing you do, you want to tell other people about Him. And it confirms that you not only know Him, but you love Him and that you care. I want other people to know this Jesus. Whoa! You see, he says, I've been enriched in everything. And he just gives me a list of about three or four things. The third, fourth thing, he says, gifts. Do you realize that every person in the Church of Jesus Christ has been given a gift? I don't know what your gift is. I really don't. But you've been given one. Begin to utilize the gift that God has given to you in the midst of the dump and you'll stop smelling like garbage. Begin to be a blessing to somebody else. See, I'm not only here to get to know God. I'm here to bless other people. I'm not here just to get to heaven. And whenever I begin to look at this world through his eyes instead of my eyes, it's pretty hard to smell like garbage at that point. Because I have a purpose and meaning for being alive. And let me tell you, when I came to know Jesus Christ, everything changed. I'm not telling you some things. I'm telling you everything. Before I knew Jesus Christ, I didn't believe any of this. And since I came to know Jesus Christ and begin to see how all of this fits together, everything that I've learned in the past, he now has blessed in the present and in the future. Wow, that's amazing that God would let me be a part of that. Begin to live like that and you'll find that you've been raised. So God, Christ communicates. Christ's completion. Do you realize in verse 7 that Jesus Christ is coming back? Live like it. Do you want to get out of the dump and stop smelling like garbage? Jesus is coming back. That's what he says in verse 7. So that ye not come behind, no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's coming back. And he's Lord. Come on. Stop smelling like garbage. Begin to live like it. And so, waiting. Oh, he's not back yet. Whew. We're waiting. We're waiting for that time. Suzanne Ansel isn't here today, or I'd have gotten three amens because she knows that he's coming this afternoon. For those of you that know Suzanne, she's not only from West Virginia, she also is waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. But it means unveiled. It means revelation. I'm waiting for the unveiling of Jesus Christ. Right now, I don't see him at work. But let me tell you, one day I'm going to see his work complete. Once again, L-O-R-D, surfaces. You see, I must give an account to him. One day I'm going to stand before him. Do you want to stop smelling like garbage? Live like it. Live like tomorrow you're going to meet Jesus Christ. What would you change? How would you act? How would you react? What would you do? And it'll change the way you live. Notice in Christ's confirmation in verse 8, he says, who shall also confirm you unto the end that you may be blameless in that day? It's one thing to be sinless, another thing to be blameless. You see, because it is Christ's work, there's no question about the outcome. One day I'm going to be blameless. Why? Because of the Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus Christos Kyrion. Because of Jesus Christ, my Lord, I'm going to stand before him and I'm going to be blameless. Confirmation, as I looked up the word, is not an act, but it's an effect. It's not a rite performed by man, but it's a result proceeding from faith in Jesus Christ. It's nothing that any person can do. This confirmation is because of a past act of faith that I placed in Jesus Christ. And when I put my faith in Jesus Christ, let me tell you what it says in 1 John. He says he'll just continue to, he says the blood of Jesus Christ just continually cleanses me from sin. Whoa, do you realize that no sin shall get into heaven? But my confirmation and my blamelessness is already assured. Because of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why should God let you into his heaven? What have you done with his son? Have you received him? Do you know him? Well, here I am, God. Why should I let you into my heaven? It's because of the Lord Jesus Christ. His blood was shed. His life was given. I received him by faith. Come on in. And where do I stand before him? Blameless? But you're such a failure. Yeah, but one day I'm going to be blameless. Why? Do you think that? Do You think that Jesus Christ died for good, perfect people? He died for a bunch of foul-ups. A bunch of foul-ups. And one day when I see him, I'm going to be like him. Because I'm going to see him as he is. And he says, come on in. Why? Because of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what he's done within my life. The confirmation. And then Christ's communion. Verse 9. God is faithful. That's his character. I need to realize that when I'm living in this dump that God is faithful. You're not. He is. He says, I'll never, and John quoted this morning, I'll never, no, ever leave you nor forsake you. He's faithful. God is faithful. By you whom you are called, this is his calling. I was called into fellowship. Like I said, it's not a religion, it's a relationship. I was called into fellowship. You see, I've been called to salvation, I've been called to position, but I've been called into fellowship. It says in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man, woman, boy, or girl hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in. And I will sup with him, and he with me. I'll have fellowship. Let me tell you why Christians smell like garbage. You stop having fellowship with Jesus Christ. You're not spending time in the Word. You're not spending time in prayer. You're just going through the motions. But he wants me to have fellowship with him. He's faithful. Fellowship. And he called me into the fellowship of his Son. Notice his control. It's his Son. It's our Lord. Do you finally get the message of Lordship? Notice in verse 2, he's Lord. Verse 3, he's Lord. Verse 7, he's Lord. Verse 8, he's Lord. Verse 9, he's Lord. Do you get it? The reason you start smelling like garbage is because you no longer allow him to be the Lord of your life. Let him take control. You say, well, I did. I got saved. Now turn the keys over to him. Turn the reins over to him. Turn the deed over to him. Turn the property. Turn everything over to him. And see what he'll do. Not only claim him as Lord of your life, allow him to be the Lord of your life. It's my life. I can do as I please. That's what the Corinthians were saying, and they were making a mess of it. Notice the last slide up here. How do we live in a dump? I need to get a fresh view of God. I said, Jesus Christ. I'm going to change it to God. Notice this. You start out verse 1. He talked about the will of God. Verse 2, the church of God. Verse 3, the grace and peace that is from God. Verse 4, thank God. Verse 4, grace of God. Verse 9, God is faithful. Boy, let me tell you, I need to get a fresh view of God. I need to realize how this great big God is a part of my life. And this great big God, guess what? He now lives on the inside of me. Notice the second thing. I need to give a final verdict to Jesus Christ. In other words, Lord, I want you to take control. I need to make him Lord of my life. And then I need to get a full vision of who this Jesus Christ is. Because did you notice in every verse, every one of them, except for one, he uses the name of Jesus Christ. And in the one he doesn't mention, I believe it's in verse 7. If so, I'll have to go back and take a look. Verse 5. He uses the word him. Every verse either implies Jesus Christ, but Jesus Christ is the heart of every verse. Let me tell you what? I need to make Jesus Christ the center and theme and heart of my life. It's about Jesus Christ, Lord of my life and the God of this universe. You get those in perspective. Let me tell you, it's not too tough to get up tomorrow when God lives here and God is here and Jesus Christ. It's the theme of my life. So no matter where I go, no matter what I do, it's not a religion. It's a relationship that literally changes everything. And when that changes, I can be in the midst of a dump. And I can still bring praise and honor and glory to Jesus Christ. My question is this, do you know him? If, first of all, if you died right now, are you sure that you'd spend eternity in heaven? If the answer is no or I don't know, I want you to slip out of your seat. I want you to meet me here at the front. I'll be glad to share with you how you can know Christ. But maybe God has been dealing with you. I mean, you have been, you're in the midst of this dump, and you're so much like the world, and that, could I challenge you to allow Him to be the Lord? Challenge Him. Challenge you to allow Him to be the Lord of your life so that you'll know the grace and peace that God can give. God has been dealing with you. This is just a culmination. An altar is simply a place where a man or a woman meets God. Why do we have an altar call? Altar is this. God has spoken to me. I hear what He's saying. And I'm willing to adjust my life beginning right now. Well, I'll wait right now. Do you realize that every call that God ever made on people's lives, He wanted them to come now? He wanted them to make a decision now? And do you realize that that decision changed them forever? Change Him forever. God loves you. Christ died for you. If you don't know Him, slip out. If you do know Him and you've been carrying the weight of the world, now's a good time to turn it over to Him. Let's all stand. Just as I am without one plea, but as Thy blood was shed for me, and that Thou bidst me come to Thee, O Lamb of God, I come, just as I am. We're going to ask God to take our will and to make it yours. If you're having a tough time saying that, I want you to slip out. Slip out. Why? Because I need to make His will mine. I'm hanging on to things. I'm not willing to let go of some things. God is pointing His finger. You know exactly what you need to let go of. Beth wanted to know why I was having such a hard time. Let me tell you why. Because my buck knife was in my duffel bag, and my duffel bag was on the airplane. She says, "What's silly?" I said, "Yeah, but I just need to be reminded. I need to be reminded I need to give everything to Jesus Christ." If God is dealing with you, listen to this last verse.
Just as I am.
Father, I'd ask you to just take Linda. The burden that she's carrying is too big for her. Allow her to know what it is to have the grace and the peace of a living God. Allow her to know what it is to allow you to be Lord of her life. Take the burden, take the heartache, take the pain. And Lord Jesus, replace it with your peace. And then take Phil. Lord Jesus, He knows you and He loves you. But sometimes just stuff piles up. So I'd ask you, Lord Jesus, that you allow Him to have a house cleaning. Allow Him to know what you're talking, what you're saying, what you want Him to do. And then, Lord Jesus, give Him the strength to do it. For the people within the congregation, it's awfully easy to try to live the Christian life in our own strength. And boy, do we ever mess it up. I would ask you, Lord Jesus, for the person that doesn't know Christ, that right now they'd say, "Lord Jesus, come into my life. Lord Jesus, You take control." For those that are just living a religious type Christianity, may we know what it is to have the Lord Jesus Christ in a living relationship and not just words that we say. In Jesus' name.